Christ came into the world. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive that there is clarity this morning as God's word is taught. The truth of God's word is taught with precision, with accuracy. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is. Hallelujah! 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We started looking at something interesting on Wednesday, right? We're talking about the written word and the living word. So we spoke about the written word and the living word. And now we said this is the written word. Is that true? This is the written word. Yeah, and it points to the living word. So who's the living word? Jesus. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh. So the word of God is primarily a person. Are we here? We looked at that on Wednesday. The word of God is primarily a person, or the word of God is first a person before what is written. So what is written points you to the person. Hallelujah. So it's called the written word because it points to the living word. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, from verse 15, who is the living word there? Verse 15, who is the living word? Okay. What does it call the living word in verse 15? Christ Jesus. What does it call the written word? Holy Scriptures. So let me ask again. What does it call the living word? Christ Jesus. What does it call the written word? So the written word is the written word of God, which is the Holy Scriptures, which is what? Genesis to what? Malachi. At this time, Paul was just writing this letter to the man called Timothy. So it means that Genesis to Malachi is better understood as the word of God than Old Testament books. Did you get that? I'll say that again. Genesis to Malachi is better understood as the word of God, the written word of God, than the Old Testament book. Why do we say so? Because in the Old Testament books, right, we have the New Testament. Yes, sir. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Is that true?
Yes,
sir. Is that why we're doing this series? Okay, hold on. What do you suppose the New Testament is about? Salvation. Where does Paul tell Timothy salvation is found? In the Holy Scriptures. So it means that in the Holy Scriptures, we have what you call the New Testament. Yeah? So, disabuse your mind from having that division in your Bible. You know that division? Malachi? You know that division in your Bible? After Malachi is what? After Malachi is what? Matthew. Okay, let's say it that way. After Malachi is space, then Matthew. Okay, my Bible doesn't have space. It must have one full page, right? So I say if it doesn't have, I don't have. It doesn't have. Look at it. This is Malachi. Where's the space? So my Bible is Christocentric. So this is what you call the New Testament. This is what you call Malachi. Right? This space is not enough for a new dispensation. I changed my Bible. Praise God. Yeah, so the New Testament really is found in the writings of Moses and the prophets. So it means that a good student of the word must approach the Bible as the word of God. Are we together? So in as much as it's easy to run to Ephesians, it's easy to run to Philippians, it's easy to run to Colossians, Galatians, Romans. They are all precedented on the writings of what? Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? So when you read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. When you see in him, he has predestinated us for the foundation of this world. You know, in him we have forgiveness and redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. And he keeps talking like that upon the seal of the Holy Ghost and everything. You should know that it's not far-fetched from where? Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? Are we together? So a good Bible student must approach this as the word of God. So the word of God points to the word of God. Did you get that? Yeah, the word of God points to the word of God. The written word points to the what? Living word. So look at what Jesus did in Luke 24. Look at Luke 24, verse 24. Luke 24, verse 24. Look at what Jesus did. They're very instructive. And certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Let me give you a tip ahead, okay? On Wednesday, I'll be teaching very interesting conversation. So there are about 4 or 5 scriptures that some believers who believe that salvation is eternal, you know, still use to negate that salvation is eternal. Let me say it better. So there are some scriptures that seem in the epistles that seem to negate eternal salvation. Or even in Matthew. So for instance, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. They say it's a sin that cannot be forgiven. Is that true? Yeah. So I'll teach about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost on Wednesday. I'll teach about if you sin willfully. Right? Remember that scripture? If you sin willfully, right? So people think that is when you, if you lie deliberately. You know, Hebrews 6, 4. But I want to lay a foundation today. So Luke 24, he says, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to what? Enter into his glory. Then verse 27, 1, 2, 3, go, let's read together. Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look at verse 44. Verse 44, 1, 2, 3, go. Them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So it means that the Psalms, the prophet, and Moses, they wrote about who? Jesus. Hey, are we here? They wrote about Jesus. So where did Jesus teach from? He taught from the writings of Moses and taught from the writings of the prophets and Psalms. Hallelujah. So it means that a lot of times, even though you neglect, you might get clarity in the immediate things Jesus said or in the immediate things the apostle said, to have a more comprehensive understanding, you need to go back to their material. Did you get that? Now, if you read Ephesians, for instance, and say, oh, you understand Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 6, is self-explanatory. The truth is that you would have to go back in the real sense to see where they were teaching from to have a more comprehensive understanding of what is self-explanatory. Did you get that? I'll say that again. Yeah, you will need to go back to the writings of Moses and the prophet and the Psalms to get clarity or a better understanding of what is already self-explanatory. Because in the real sense, the apostles were writing from the scriptures to a people. But their material was the material of Moses and the prophets. Are we together? Look at Acts. Look at Paul. Let me show you something. Paul. Look at Paul. Look at Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 22. Acts 26, 22. It says, having obtained therefore help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come to pass. Who is talking here? Okay, go back to verse 14. Acts 26, 14. Are we here, Billy? Look at verse 14. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Stay there. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from where? Heaven. Above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto what? Unto me. And saying in Hebrew tongue. And saying what? Hebrew tongue. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? For it is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Take care of this. What does the Lord call Saul in that trance? Saul. Did he change his name to Paul? So Saul's name was not changed to Paul. Right? Yeah, you know, people say that Paul was Saul, then when he met, if you encounter God, the name will change. You see, that is what births in us, a lot of us, the reason to change our names if we were Muslims before. Are we together? If you want to change the name, it's fine, but it doesn't have any spiritual connotation. Are we together? I'll say it again. Yeah, my name is Yusuf. If I want to change my name tomorrow from Yusuf, The only reason I would want to change my name is because I want to sound more Tush. Yusuf. I'd rather something like, give me a sweet name. Stone. When I'm not from England. Stone, food, cold, wood, no. No, give me names. Which one is King Royce Bricks? Yeah? So if I want to change my name to Joshua Arnold. Oh, that sounds good. Wow. Joshua Arnold. Abraham, who is it? Who is father of many nations with you? You know, but there was a time actually we wanted to change our name to Abraham. My dad was already in the, you're laughing. My dad was already in the process of changing our name to Abraham. Yeah, but really, right? Joshua Arnold. Wow. What is EA? Esther Arnold. Oh. No, it's not Abraham, it's Arnold. Yeah? You know, so if I want to change my name from Yusuf, not because God will like me more or I will hear God more, because I'm bearing an Islamic name, Yusuf. Is Yusuf Islamic? Not Islamic. I don't agree. Because I know it's Islamic because Joseph is interpretation.
Yes.
So his name is Joseph. Joseph. I feel like God is calling me to the ministry of Arnold. Arnold ministry. Okay. Yeah, so in the real sense, the name Paul was called was Saul. His name was never changed. Why? What do you suppose Paul makes you see? The Hebrew tongue that was the language he was communicated in with was Hebrew tongue. So Saul is the Hebrew name of the Greek name Paul. Did you get that? Yeah? Saul is the Hebrew name of the Greek name Paul. Just like if you're a Yoruba person, for instance, and they say your name is Ayo. Ayo is the word that means joy in Yoruba. So if your name is Ayo, you met with God, you say it's the name changed to joy. Are we together? So it is just about culture. So Paul is trying to narrate the conversation from the narrative or from the point of the trance. So what he now says, look at verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am who? Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Now, did Paul ever meet Jesus face to face? No. History shows that they did not meet. But Paul was persecuting a Jesus. Amen? Amen. Paul was persecuting a Jesus. How do you suppose he was persecuting a Jesus? By persecuting the body of Jesus, which is the body of Christ. So in Paul's persecution of the Christians, he was persecuting Jesus. But what was Jesus' response to one who was persecuting him? Look at it. He says, rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. Oh, gracious Father. Oh, gracious Father. Oh, bless Jesus. Let me say this. The day Jesus appears to a man in Boko Haram camp, it is to make him a minister. The day Jesus appears to an Afghanistan man, it is to make him a minister. Look at it. Was Paul persecuting Jesus? Yes. Was he doing it with his heart? In fact, where he was coming from and going to had to do with persecution. Bible says in Acts, he supervised the stoning to death of Stephen. He supervised it. Yet, Jesus calls him Saul. Jesus doesn't appear to him and say, murderer. Yeah? So when you say, I pray that Jesus will appear in that camp and turn them upside down. No, it is to bring them to be ministers. Because Jesus needs more men. Look at it again. He says, rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Look at verse 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom. Verse 18. See the purpose of Jesus appearing to Paul. Verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Oh, gracious Father. God is too loving. You see. So God went to darkness to appear to somebody in darkness, to make him a minister, to bring other people from darkness. Are we together? You see, God doesn't look for perfect men. Hallelujah. God doesn't look for perfect men. In fact, perfect men or perfect man is almost like it is a myth. Are we together? So he says, I'm calling you out to be a minister, right? To those. So he says, and to deliver them from light. Look at the next line. And from the power of what? Hold on. When Paul was supervising the killing of people, whose power was he under? Satan. Abi? Who was he working for? So God appears to Paul, a worker of Satan, to bring him out of the work of Satan, to make him a minister. Let me ask you a question. Do you suppose that Paul could have disobeyed that vision? Let me say better. You rest it to me. Did God force Paul to stop killing people? The moment God forces Paul, it means God suspends his willpower. He suspends Paul's willpower. So he came in a persuasive form to Paul, and Paul could still what? Reject. See what he now says now. See verse 19. Look at it. Okay. And from power of Satan, verse 18, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's read verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So was Paul disobedient? Was Paul disobedient? When you say disobedient, it just means that he did not obey. Or he did not obey, or really, he did not believe. Are we together? So even though all those things happened, God still respected Paul's will to be either choose disobedience or obedience. So what do you suppose God was calling Paul to do? To come and dress and keep the garden. Remember that teaching? So Paul was to be called out of darkness to come and dress and keep the garden. What is dressing and keeping the garden? Do the work of a priest. Right? Do the work of a prophet. Are we together? So he now says, verse 21, for this cause the Jew caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. So this was somebody killing people. They were now trying to kill him. Do you see that? You see, the fact that he left darkness did not make them say, ah, this is our King and Lord of darkness. What did he find there? As soon as he left darkness, darkness started following him. Are we together? So look at verse 22. He now says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Can you see? This now makes sense, right? Yes. So what was God's involvement in everything they were trying to do to him? Help. So God supplied help, and he continued in the help supplied. So what now? What did he really continue in? Do you have it in record that Paul was now teaching about division? Are you sleeping? Okay, look at it. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying what? Saying what? Not other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say. So did Paul have a vision? Did Jesus appear to Paul? Did Paul make that his message? What did Paul make his message? What the prophet and Moses had been saying. You see that? So no matter the vision that a man has, he must submit to the writings of the prophet and Moses. Are we together? No matter the dream you have, no matter the vision you have, dreams are good, visions are good, trance are good, but no matter what vision or dream you have, it must submit. It must submit. It must submit to the willpower of the scriptures. No matter what dream you have. You know, I'll say that again. No matter what dream you have, it must submit to the written word of God. Are we together? What do some of us do today? Hey, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus. You say I should be a minister. You go and open church. Jesus is seen by me, International Gospel Ministry. The first day you come, you describe how you saw him from the light. Second day you come, you describe how you saw him with your eyes. Third day come, you describe how you saw him with your mind. The fourth day come, you describe how you saw him with your being. Do you understand? And you start talking about the vision. But what did Paul say? Having therefore, so it means that the help that God supplied to Paul was not to teach, was not for Paul to teach about the vision he had. Are we here? The help that God supplied to Paul was not for Paul to teach about the vision he had. The help God supplied to Paul was for him to continue teaching what? No other thing than what Moses and the prophets did say should what? Should come. Are you learning something? So, are dreams good? Are dreams good? Are visions good? Can you have a dream and it brings clarity to certain things in your life? Yes, so. Are we together? But when you wake up from your dream, what do you do? What does the word say? Are we together? You know, during evangelism yesterday, I was reaching out, I was talking to a lady. I said, do you hear from God? She said, yes. I said, how do you hear from God? She said, when I dream. I said, wow, that's interesting. So if God wants to talk to you right now, he has to wait for you to sleep first. Are we together? Imagine if God talks to you only by dreams. It means that he will just say, sleep. He'll be praying for you to sleep before he can talk. Those who know will be in trouble. Imagine you are in a building and the building wants to collapse. You don't want to imagine what it will look like. Oh. Imagine you are in a building and the building wants to collapse. And God will not see my daughter. Oh, I'm going to sleep. Imagine. But you're not saying, God, but I'm not sleeping. I say, sleep by force. Before you finish conversing, you will see brick on your head. Hallelujah. So, what does Jesus say? What does Paul say, rather? Obtain help to continue teaching from scriptures. So, it means that in the teachings of Paul, you see the writings of Moses and the prophets. Do you see that? In the words and the writings and teachings of Paul, you will see what the prophets and Moses did say should come. So, let's look at Paul a little. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. This is Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. He says, for there is one God. Are we together? And one mediator between God and men. Are we together? The man Christ. So who is the mediator between God and men? Christ Jesus. So look at it this way. Who is Christ Jesus? God. Are we together? So Jesus is God. Is that true? Is that true? Jesus says to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, his name shall be called what? The mighty Father, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. So Jesus is God. So Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Are we here? Jesus is the mediator between God and man. So it means that God is the mediator between God and man. Is that true? No, look at it now. For there is one God. Let me say it better. For there is one God, there is one Jesus. Is that true? There is one God, and this God is the mediator between God and men. Hallelujah. Bible terms. Look at verse 6. Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in good. Now, did God give himself as a ransom for all? Okay, let's say it this way. The man Jesus, did he give himself as a ransom of all, for all, or for Christians? For all. So did Jesus die for the world? Did Jesus die for Christians alone? Right? So what is the difference between a man who is a Christian and a man who is not a Christian? He hasn't come to accept what God has done for him. Are we together? So he says that he gave himself a ransom for all. What is the word ransom? You are in Nigeria. You should know what ransom is. I know what I say, Nigeria, you will connect. You remember kidnap plus it will connect in your head. Are we together? So what is ransom? The price paid. Are we together? So did Jesus pay a price to get you? What was the price he paid? Himself. Are we together? So Jesus is the price payer who pays the price with himself. Are we together? Are we together? Don't sleep in Christ. Hallelujah. Say, I'm born of God. Say, I'm born of the Holy Ghost. Say, God does not sleep. And he does not slumber. Hallelujah. Yeah. Do you want us to start standing up to attend meetings? You see, when you come for meetings and they say you should stand up, the reason for standing up is just so that you don't get carried away with sleep. Because sitting down can make you so comfortable that you sleep. But some people are so trained that in standing, why is he laughing? In standing, they know how to set their body. Nothing can move them. And if you don't see their mouth, you know they are not praying. You think they are in the battlefield where they stand until you see their mouth. And that's why I don't like when we are praying. We're going to face wall. No face wall. Let's see your mouth moving. You just stand like this, and before you know, you have gone. But you will never forget you are speaking in tongues. So when they wake you, you say, paka, 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 paka. You continue from the vocabulary in which you stopped. Hallelujah. Say, I will not sleep. For sleeping is not godly. Say, for sleeping is not godly. When we are among saints. Or is it godly? We have a template of those who sleep in Acts. That's the real fall and die. That's the real fall and die. You know who that is? The young man called Eutychus. Eutychus Arnold. Yeah? Don't sleep. Yeah, it's important, okay? So, the ransom paid is paid for all. But we are the one that have come to acknowledge that a price has been paid for us. Hallelujah. So, does that mean we have been redeemed? Right? So does that mean that Jesus gave himself or offered himself to redeem mankind? Do you get that? Look at Romans 3. Let me show you something in Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans 3, 24. Romans 3, 24. It says, being justified, oh glory to God, being justified freely by his grace through the what? Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at 25. Whom God has set forth to be a what? Propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are what? Past. Through the what? Forbearance of God. So, let me ask you a question. Sin is man-made. We've thought that, right? Sin is man-made. So, by one man, sin entered into the world. So, sin is man-made. Death is the result of sin. Is that true? So sin is man-made, death is sin-made. Did you get that? Then death is by extension man-made. Did you get that? So in the real sense, what now happens to the repercussion of sin? Or rather, why will a man... Okay. Because sin is man-made, did man need deliverance from sin? Remember, the fundamental sin of Adam was to cause a separation. Right? Is that a sin? Is that a sin? So the disobedience is the sin, and it brought forth a separation. What now happens? Jesus needs to bring back that separation and mend it together. Right? So it means that that thing that caused the separation, which is sin, has to be sorted. Did you get that? So Jesus had to sort sin. Did you get that? So Jesus, let me say it this way. Let me understand now, because you're used to kidnapping. Jesus had to pay for sin. Are we together? So how did he pay for sin? By himself. Are we together? So what is the message of the scriptures? That God had what? God had a propitiation for by faith, right? To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Look at Jesus in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 28. Matthew 26, 28. See what it says in Matthew 26, 28. It says, for this is my blood. Now, Romans 3 tells us that by his blood we have propitiation, right? By his blood, right? So, see what it now says. So, this is the person whose blood we speak about. Amen? This is my what? This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the what? Remission of what? Sins. Okay, hold on. How is remission of sins gotten? By the shedding of blood, and man by faith believing that. So, he says, for this is my blood. Who is talking here? Jesus. Now, is it in your Bible that Jesus took syringe to remove his blood and pour it inside a cup? Do you suppose that Luke the doctor took syringe and took out his blood and now he's cutting wood and cover it? Then I poured inside the bottle, then gave Jesus. Jesus now said, this is my blood. Is that what happened? So, was it his blood he was showing them? No. So, he was literally showing them wine in a cup. But now the question is, he now says, this is my blood, which is shed for the remission of what? Sins. Look at verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the... This fruit of the... Wait, so what was in the cup? Fruit of the vine, which is what? Wine. Amen? Amen. So wine was in the cup, but called it his blood. So where was that wine in the cup to become blood? In their minds. Are we together? It's just a representation, hypodigma, right? Something that points to something else. Are we together? So what was the blood of Jesus shed for? Remission of what? Sins. Now, whose blood was going to be shed? Jesus. Do you suppose that Jesus knew why his blood would be shed? So if Jesus, who knew why his blood would be shed, shed his blood, who is the best person to listen to why the blood was shed? Eh? Who is the best person to tell you why the blood was shed? Jesus. What did Jesus say the blood was shed for? Remission of sin. So it means that if you want to teach that the blood was shed for remission of sins, comma, you are doing what you call aituno. What is aituno? It's the Greek way of expressing the Hebrew word itk. Give me another word for itk. Oversavi. Yeah, that's Latin. Oversabi. What's another word for oversabi? Ajayi Crowder. Right? So Ajayi, oversabi, or the Hebrew word ITK, which is I too know in the Greek. Praise God. You see, we're deep. Right? So he says, this is shed for the remission of sins. So it means that the blood is shed as the price paid. So it means that, so what is the real price he paid? His blood. What is his blood? His life. So the price he paid for sins is his life. What is his life? His spirit. Praise God. Look at Acts 20 verse 28. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own. So how did Jesus buy us back? He bought us back with his blood. What is his blood again? What is his blood? What is his life? His spirit. Some of you are just, you're just saying, au revoir. Okay. So look at Galatians 3:13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. So by the death of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, we have remission of sins. So what is the proof or the real proof that your sins are forgiven? His spirit has been given. Praise God. Galatians 3:13. Christ had what? He had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, hello, saints. When Jesus was on the cross, how many people were with him on the cross? Two others, right? But you know that is debatable. You know it's debatable. Because in that day and time, they kill people in group. But why do you suppose the Bible points our attention to two? Because of the conversation. Okay. Yeah, so remember, the thief on the and right and the left. So which of them said to God, remember me in your kingdom? Right, you are not here. So the one on the right, Abby? Ah, don't fall for the trap. I'm pushing my money to you, you are eating it. Are we together? Yeah, the Bible doesn't record if it was left or right. Just one of them. Are we together? So, what do you suppose that conversation was showing you? It was showing you the conversation of two people, one rejecting, one accepting. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just stay there. We're just showing you. You don't need to go and find out the names of the other people that were on the cross. You know, you need to find out who was with Christ on the cross so you can see yourself. No, it's enough to see yourself the way where you see two people. So, one represents the one that what acknowledges and the one that doesn't what acknowledge. Are we together? Yeah, you know, there's a very fundamental truth in the Bible that a lot of us overlook. For instance, how many wise men visited Jesus? And they are not three. You know, some of these things, you know, is Rema to a lot of people. You know what they call Rema? You know what they call Rema? God give it to us. Okay, let me ask another question. Samson and Delilah. Right? Okay, you know the story now. Right? Who caught Samson's hair? People are smart in this church. Who caught Samson's hair? You don't know. The hair was cut, sha. But who caught Samson's hair? Yeah? No, but they say it's Delilah now. They said, "Ba, you, what do you say?" You know, Jesus said, "People say you say people." Say, so who say ye that I am? So who caught Delilah's head? Eh? We're not there. Yeah, but you know, in the real sense, Delilah was not the one that used the scissors to cut. If you read the story very well, all she did was to betray him, made him. Is it really poison or drunk? Whatever. Then she called men to cut the hair. Are we together? You know, I said a few weeks ago that something wasn't so muscular like that, right? Yeah. So it was just speaking about supernatural strength and everything. So these are very fundamental truths in the Bible, you know, that we just need to know. Someone say, "Pastor, but how does that affect my Christian faith?" It does. It does. Right? Because you can actually tell somebody who is very adamant and just show them and say, "Read it." And you know, once they read it and they confirm, you can say, "I can assure you that everything you know in Christian faith is wrong." And you begin at Genesis and start showing them another scripture and expand to them. Yeah? You know, so in the real sense, he was hung on the tree. In the real sense, it wasn't, there's no record of either the right or the left thief that conversed with him. Look at Titus 2. Titus 2:14 and Titus 2:3 or Titus 3:4. Titus 2:14. Titus 2:14. He gave himself for us that he might what? Redeem. To redeem, is it to pay ransom? Is it to pay price? So he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all what? Iniquity. Look at chapter 3 of Titus. Chapter 3 verse 4 to 7. It says, chapter 3 verse 4 to 7. 4 to 7. Titus 3, 4 to 7. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards all men appeared. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration, and renewing of the what? Holy Ghost, which he what? Shared on us abundantly through Christ our Savior. Verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made what? Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So it means that by his death, by the giving of the Spirit, we have been redeemed. Say, "I am redeemed." Say, "I'm fully saved. Because I have been fully redeemed." Hallelujah. So if God pays himself as a price to buy you from the hand of the devil, nobody can snatch you. Did you get that? Yeah? Look at it. It would have been different if God sent an angel to die for you. Do you understand? You might be able to say, "I don't trust the work of the angel." But God said nobody on earth will be able to die perfectly for you in the bondage of devil. What does he do? He comes by himself, enters the womb of a woman, and what does he do? He stays there, he matures, he is born. Right? And he's killed by men. And what does God do? Raise him up. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 23. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. 1 Corinthians 7, 23. 1, 2, 3, go. "Be not ye the servant." What is the price you are bought with? The life of God. Are we together? Are we here? Yes. What is the price you are bought with? His blood, his life, his spirit. Are we together? Are we together? So what happens? He gives you his spirit, and by extension, you are permanently engulfed in his hand. Are we together? You are permanently intertwined with him. You are forever in him. Praise God. Say, "I'm forever in Christ." So we are bought with the price that was paid. So how did Jesus buy us back from the hand of sin and death? He gave himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So where's our redemption found? It's found in the work of Christ. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 7. Then Colossians 1, 12. Look at Ephesians 1, 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, in whom we have what? Redemption. Through his blood. So can we say in whom we have rescue? Can we say in whom we have buying back? What other word again? In whom we have what? Come again. Release clause. What term is, what field is that? Is it law? Paul. Release. In whom we have what? Release clause. Let's stay in redemption, please. I'm sorry for taking us to ransom, price paid. In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. Right? Hallelujah. What is really the redemption through his blood? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So the forgiveness you have is not according to your works, but according to his riches. What is he rich in? Grace. For God, who is rich in mercy, rich in grace. Right? So the riches of God is found in his grace. Oh, gracious Father. The wealth of God is found in his mercy. So God is a wealthy God in that he is rich in mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is a wealthy God in that he is rich in mercy and grace. Look at chapter verse 13, Ephesians 1, 13. In whom ye have trusted also that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your what? Salvation. Now, can we say the gospel of your redemption? Beautiful, right? So, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at verse 14. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the what? But I thought it said we are redeemed already. Are we together? But you read verse 7 when it says we have been redeemed. But he's saying that until the redemption, the Greek word for the word there until is until. Oh, it's not, it doesn't change. So it means that there's a redemption of the spirit, there's a redemption of the what? Body. And there's a redemption of the mind. What do you suppose redemption of the mind is? Renewing your mind. So your spirit is permanently saved, your mind is being saved, your body will be saved. Do you get that? Do you get that? Your spirit is permanently saved, right? Your mind is being saved as you pay attention to the word, and your body will be saved. Praise God. So he says, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, as long as I gave this example, right? You know the example I want to give right now? Mama Bola, right? Let's look at Mama Bola. So Mabola is that woman who has a shop, or rather, who goes to Otako market. Yeah? Why am I saying Otako like Yoruba? Otako. Yeah, Otako. Yeah. Otako. So Otako is a market close to Julius Berger. Right? So Mabola goes to the market and goes to point A and buys a bag of rice. But unfortunately, Mabola cannot carry the bag of rice on her head while she's going all around the market. So she says, you know what, my brother? Wait for me. Let me go and buy a few more things. I'll come back and pick my bag of rice. Are we here? So what happens to Mabola? She goes to what? Mama Nkechi. Right? And she says, Mama Nkechi, how are you doing? Do you have a bag of beans? Give me. But before she leaves, Papa Jaden. Papa Kene. So before she leaves Papa Kene, he says, Oga, please, I'm going to Mama Nkechi down the street. But when I come back, please, I'll just come and carry my bag and go home. Since my car is not far from here. You now say, hey, Mabola, I will not be around when you come back. Oh. But you know what you can do? Just put a sellotape on the bag and just write your name on it. Mabola brings a sellotape, writes her name on it, and writes, Mother of Bola. Right? And she goes and buys beans. And she comes back with the beans and the wheelbarrow man. And they are dancing back to Papa Kene's shop. Unfortunately, Papa Kene is not around. Only Papa Kene's houseboy. Or shop assistant. And you now say, which is Kene? Okay. And you now say, Kene? No, I don't want, let me know it's Kene. Because the example I want to give is not Kene that will do it. So Kene is not in the shop this day. Right? So this other person right now, is now Nonso. So Nonso now, because of the cunningness in his heart, now removes the sellotape. And he now mixes the bag of rice together with other bags of rice. My brother comes, Nonso, how are you doing? I spoke to Papa Kenya and he said I should come back and pick my bag of rice. I said, bag of rice? Which one is bag of rice? He now starts telling you, if you see the rice, we will identify it. If you see the bag of rice, we will identify it. And you have 500 bags. He said, just be searching. And he went to put it at the back. You just be searching, just be searching, just be searching. Now, peradventure, you have the time to keep searching. And you can't find the masking tape. What happens? 0-0. They beat you 1-0. Are we together? But if before you left, you opened the bag of rice and you put your ID card inside or your wallet inside the rice, after all, you still wash the rice before you eat. Are we together? What do? You say, no, so open these 500 bags of rice. Today will come out. Are we together? And what happens? By the miracle of the Spirit, he goes to the direct bag. He should be the one that hid it. He will go to the exact bag. Right? And when he opens, what happens? You see, that's what the Bible teaches. It says, which is the earnest of the inheritance unto the redemption. So you might not look like God's bag of rice. Hey, 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 hey. You might not look like God's bag of rice, but you are God's bag of rice. Hallelujah. You might not look like it. Yeah, so you don't need to have anything on your forehead. Praise God. You don't need to have anything on your forehead. You don't need to have anything about your beard. Are we together? But you have a spirit. Right? So what you call the last day, what you call the last day, even if the devil comes and says, this one, who is he? He doesn't even go to church. He was redeemed. He is about to be redeemed because he was redeemed. Are we together? Are we together? The price has been paid. Hallelujah! Say, I'm God's eternal property. I'm God's eternal property. Look at Colossians 1:12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. See what it says there. Giving thanks unto the Father which had made us to be made to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Is that to redeem? Is that to redeem? He had delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, is this the testimony of Paul? We read that in Acts, right? What does he say? He says, me that was in darkness under the power of what? Satan. So that testimony of Paul. Oh, gracious. Look at it this way. Let me say this, everybody. The testimony of Paul of deliverance from darkness and from the power of Satan is everybody's testimony. Are we together? Either you say Paul killed 100 of people and you've not killed a fly before. You know, so I heard somebody was arguing recently. And guess the argument. If you are saying it's not good to kill, why do you kill animals? That brother has not eaten a well-diced goat meat. Oh, praise Jesus. You know, when they dice it properly, you know, I'm getting to the word. Yeah. You know, when they dice it properly, well mixed with a proper, well-garnished red sauce. Oh, praise Jesus. You know, that the smell alone fills you halfway, such that the asun itself just tops it up. You know, there's some food like that, they fill you halfway. Some of you, I know you cannot relate because you're always hungry. You're always hungry. You're always hungry. Before me, team, fit fam, you're always eating. You're laughing. You're always hungry, but you're always. Why are all of you looking at Arnold? Why are you all looking at Arnold? Please leave Arnold alone. You know, always eating, never coming to the. Never going to the fullness of food. So you are always eating and always working out. Always eating and always working out. It's a cycle. Hallelujah. You know, so in the real sense, you've not had some meals. Some people, no matter how the smell goes through their nose, if you've not eaten their full portion, they've not eaten. Who are delivered from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Romans 8 tells you, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So it means that deliverance from power of darkness is a leading into the kingdom of his dear son. So it means that we are forever in light. Hallelujah. We are forever in light because the price has been paid from darkness. Praise God. Look at verse 13. Verse 14 rather. He says, in whom we have what? Redemption. Is that price paid? We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we have forgiveness of sins, and in the real sense, we have what? Redemption. So what's the proof that your sins are forgiven? The Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God? It's a proof that you've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God did not request a change of heart before giving you his Spirit. Did you get that? I'll say that again. God did not request a change of heart before he gave you his Spirit. So forgiveness is solely based on his work. We just receive it. Forgiveness of sins is given by the offerings, by the sacrifice of Christ. God did not request your heart to be changed. Are we together? Are we together? Praise God. Praise God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:17. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. It says, 1 Corinthians 15:17. It says what? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sin. So the price paid is the resurrection given, which is forgiveness of sins given. Are we together? I'll say it again. The price paid is the resurrection, which is the giving of the Spirit, which is forgiveness of sins given. So it means that there is never a time that the believer lacks forgiveness of sins. Did you get that? Why? Because forgiveness of sin is not based on your change of conduct. Forgiveness of sin is based on his action. Let me say it better. Forgiveness of sin is not based on change of actions, but based on his action, the action of the resurrection. Look at Hebrews 9, excuse me. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 11, 11 to 14. Hebrews 9, 11 to 14. Look at Hebrews 9, 11 to 14. It says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Look at verse 12 together. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his what? By his what? Own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Are we together? So he obtained eternal redemption in the entrance. So he enters into the holy place. So by his blood he entered. What is his blood? What is his blood? His Spirit, which is his what? His life. Are we together? So when you say by his blood he enters into the holy place, where does the Spirit enter? The hearts of men. Are we together? So the fact that he has entered into your heart, it means you are eternally redeemed. You see, the word there before redemption is the word what? What's the word before redemption? So it means that the redemption Jesus offers is eternal. So we don't sing eternal life, Lord, save my soul. I want to see eternal life, Lord, save my soul. I want to see that. They start part. I want to see. No matter how much you party. I want to see. It's not about the party. Yeah. And the brothers with the bass voice at the back. The redemption we have is the forgiveness of sins. So if redemption is eternal, forgiveness of sin is what? Eternal. There is never a time a man will lack forgiveness of sin, having received the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God is the perfect, total proof that your sins are forgiven. For your sins not to be forgiven, if they were once forgiven, you have to be able to separate the Spirit of God from your life. What do you need to do first? You tear your body. What do you do second? You look for the Spirit in your body. You see, once you do the first one, you are gone. Are we together? Look at verse 14. Look at verse 13 rather. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of Ephah sprinkling the unclean sanctified to prepare your flesh, verse 14, he says what? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the... First of all, what does he call it? Blood. Is that true? He now says eternal redemption. He now calls it what? Eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. He now says what? Purge your conscience from what? dead works. Purge your conscience from what? Dead works to serve. So eternal redemption is the release from sin and its consequences. I'll say that again. Eternal redemption is the release from sins and consequences and its consequences. So you have been released and God now puts a seal in you and it says you are forever mine. You can never not be God's. Bible says in John 10, it says, the God which gave them to me, the Father which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one, it says, none can pluck them out of my hands. You cannot separate yourself from God. God is eternally in a bond with you. Hallelujah. So the earlier you accept it and believe it, the better for you. Yeah, I'm not a Christian again. I'm not a Christian again. I'm just an atheist right now. I don't believe there's a God. How can you say there is God? And he's killing everybody. See, a very interesting conversation to speak to people like that. Come, there's no God, but what is your challenge? They tell you, you know, God, you know, how can God give life? And yet, he knows that evil will happen. Come. Where you are today, who gave you the life? Your mother gave birth to you. You have a child today. You that you are good. Why did you bring a child into the world? Okay. Are you sure of the future of your child? He can become anything tomorrow, including Amroba? Yes. So if you know he can become anything tomorrow, why did you bring him into the world? Abby? Why did you bring him to the world? Yeah, we have very, very interesting atheists in this part of the world, especially this part of the world. Very interesting atheists, you know. So, there is never a time, no matter how much you disabuse yourself. Look at what happens. A man is born again, he has received God's spirit, right? His mind needs to be changed. If your mind doesn't change, it doesn't negate what you've received. Did you get what I just said? If your mind doesn't change, you have already received the spirit. Let me not say it further. If your mind changes, but changes to the negative direction, it doesn't change the spirit you've received. Did you get that? So think about a man like this. This is point zero. This is point five. And this is point 10. So at point five is when he receives the spirit. So when I mean point five, that's where his mind is. Right? Oh, let's say it this way. This is point zero. This is point minus five. Right? This is point zero. This is what? Plus five. So at point zero is when he receives the life of God. Are we together? So upon receiving the life of God, what does the word of God expect him to do? Renew your mind, right? By paying attention to the word, right? So if he chooses not to go further to renew his mind, does he change the spirit he has received at point zero? No. So if he chooses to go back to minus five, does he change the spirit he receives at point zero? No. Right? So once you have believed, see, God is so loving that he is looking for half a chance in a man. That is why I'm always saying it. Dear saints, push out God's word. Push out God's word with every platform you have. You don't know who is being changed. Are we together? You don't know who is being changed. Don't be after the number of likes, number of followers. See, I noticed something in the last few weeks of posting. The week I posted about marriage, over 1,000 views. The week I posted about what the blood of God is, 220. How they know it is marriage is by word of knowledge. I don't know how they got to find out. 1,000 views, over 1,000 views. But my attention is not. So you see what church strategy is? Okay, put the mass. Women like saying that. Okay, they like when people say that God does not choose. Okay, open your eyes. Okay, you know, I did a video one day. After how many minutes of video, the only thing somebody reposted the video to say is that the summary of this video is, woman, open your eye. I felt ashamed. But what is church strategy group for growth is statistics, data analytics. If 1,000 people view when you mention women, okay, yeah. When you say men submit to women also and women submit to men, 5,000 views, okay. Okay, when you say that Jesus Christ's blood was not offered to God, 150, what do you do? Data scientist comes in. What does data scientist do? He wants to see, he wants to forecast the head. So it means that today, if you add, so next week you can permutate, do two, add the one for women. Because you know it is women that like things of God. This generation, we need to be firm on people. If you do one small post like this now, they will attack you. Face your work. Face your... How do you see my work if you face your work? How do you see my work? Face your work. Must you talk every time? Why are you talking when I spoke? You understand? We're just like pampering our the flesh. The flesh. Support your own, no. Support your own, no. Support your own, no. And being made perfect, he became the what? Author of eternal salvation. So the salvation that Jesus authors is that which is eternal. Amen. So he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? Obey him. What will obey him be? Believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Look at, so it means that the salvation we have, it is only one person that can keep it. Are we together? The only person that can keep your salvation is Jesus. You don't have the strength to keep your salvation. You are not strong enough. Yeah? Do you know why? Because it is God that does it by himself, with himself, for you. If God drops a pen on this floor, you might not be able to pick it up. Are we together? Yeah? Because God is the mightiest being, or the God is that mighty being which no other being can compare to. So if he chooses to do a work, just accept it. It is forever. It is forever. It is forever. It is forever. Look at Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7:22. It says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testimony. What do you suppose the word surety is? Guarantee, or the guarantor. Are we together? Yeah? Look at verse 25. To whom also, 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the what? Uttermost. So the saving that Jesus saves is to the what? Uttermost. Them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to what? Make intercession. He ever lived to make intercession. So it means that the intercession of Jesus for us is found in the fact that he lives forever. Look at Hebrews 10:12-14. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, right? Sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. What is the right hand of God? The place of authority. Where is the right hand of God? In the heart of the believer. Yeah, remember that series? Right? The Bible seminar. Look at verse 13. From henceforth, expecting to his enemies, be made his footstool. Verse 14. For by one offering he had perfected forever. Oh, glory to God. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Look at verse 16. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. This is Hebrews quoting from Ezekiel and a couple of other scriptures. He says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Look at verse 17. He says, and their sins and iniquities I will remember. What is I will remember no more? It means I will not take into account their sins. Are we together? It's not that God has forgetfulness or amnesia or whatever you call it. Right? I will not take their sins into account. Why? Because what makes intercession for the believer is the fact that he lives forever. Look at 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins. Amen? Did you learn that from Wednesday? Did you learn that from Wednesday? Yes, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. Hold on. Let's assume this is a cutting. Father, I went to the hotel yesterday. Father, I lied yesterday. Father, forgive me. The father is talking about is behind the cutting. No? He goes again. He comes back there next week. He does the same thing. Right? What is he doing? He's confessing his sin. Bible says if you don't confess your sin, right, you call him a liar. If you say you have no sin, you call him a liar. We explained this on Wednesday. The word there, confess, is the word homologeo. Right? It's a word gotten from two Greek words, homo and logos. Right? Homo means to say the same or being the same or together or unique, united, unity. Then logos is the word, word. In the beginning was the word, logos. Right? That word there, logos, is thought, system, patterns. So homologio means to say the same thing in that thought. So what he's saying, if we confess our sins, that means if we say the same thing concerning what he says about our sins. Did you get that? Yeah. If we say the same thing about what he's saying about our sins, that he is faithful. Yeah. So he is faithful to forgive sins and to cleanse from righteousness. So how do you know? Look at chapter 2. The Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. Chapter 2. I close here. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my little children, these things write down unto you that ye sin not. Right? And if any man sin, let him confess it. Eh? Is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? Let him confess it. You say yes. That means you are not following. Let's read verse 2, verse 1 together. 1, 2, 3, go. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man should sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So what is he saying? It's good conduct not to sin. Right? It's good conduct not to sin. However, when you sin, or if you sin, you don't confess the sin. You confess what he says about the sin. Did you get that? Yes, I'll say that again. It is good conduct not to sin. If you sin, you don't confess your sin. Your confession of sin, what is it doing? You are reminding God that you know that you're a sinner. Eh? You are trying to say, you know, God doesn't know. I need to bring it to his attention. You know, so you not wake up one day and just find out and you know not bless me again. I need to call his attention to my sin. Bible says if you confess it, he's faithful. You see, it is in the confession that you find his faithfulness. So he says, we have an advocate with the Father. So our advocate is the Father. Praise God. Remember in Titus, it says what? It says, God, we have a mediator. There is one God, right? And we have one mediator between God and men. Who is the mediator? The man Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus is God, the mediator between God and men. So when he says we have an advocate with the Father, who is the advocate? Jesus Christ, the what? The righteous. Look at verse 2. He now says this. It says in verse 2, and he is the what? Propitiation for our sins. And not ours only, but also for the sins of the world. So, you know, have you heard people give this analogy that, oh, Jesus Christ, God is the judge on one seat, right? And you are the one in the, what do you call the name of that dock? Is it dock? Dock, right? You are the one in the dock, right? And you now have an advocate which is fighting for you. You see, yet, my Lord, may I? For you see, my Lord, this brother, yes, my Lord, he saw the chicken, my Lord. But to say he stole the chicken because the chicken was missing is an abuse of double jeopardy. You see, lawyers. Lawyers are good people. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, you see, I'm still trying to find out in my head where we put the profession of law as believers. Because it's very tricky. You are a lawyer. Somebody comes and tells you that, oh God, I stole this thing, but defend me. There was no what? There's no measure. I'm turning this thing place to law school gradually. What do you call it? What is menstrual? So what I'm trying to say is that he only had the intention to steal, but he didn't steal it. So he might have taken the thing, but it doesn't mean that he had the intention to take it. Wow. So people steal not intentionally. Wow, no measure. No measure. Ha, please, oh. Because really, I'm very sincere when I say I'm trying to find a balance, because it now becomes worse when you now see someone assisting himself as a gospel lawyer. What part of what you will say? Eh? You know, we have gospel artists, gospel musicians, we have gospel comedians. I'm also a gospel lawyer. Yeah? And somebody comes and meets you. My Lord, I actually stole it. And this is the balance in my phone. However, I want you to be an advocate for me, to defend me, to show that I did not steal it. You see, just down, a small thing. I gospel lawyer. The person shows you the video. In fact, there's camera, the video where they saw you stealing it. They saw you enter the car. They saw you jump in the car. This is the video of that guy that jumped inside one mass copper to steal, and dogs were pushing him. They dealt with him. The video caught you on camera. Now, you see, my Lord, if I may, can I? Did he jump into the compound? Yes. If I may. You know, and the video is there. Did he jump into the compound? Yes. Did he approach the chicken? Yes. What? Or you want to say probably? That means you're trying to say something like, did he approach the chicken? Well, probably, because the camera does not capture the angle where the chicken is. Okay, then I'll play the video again. You saw him. You didn't see him take the chicken, no. But you saw him going back with the fence with the chicken. And you saw him throw the chicken. My Lord, if I may, there's something called when a man is absent from his doings. Metonymy, right? Metonymy. Okay, gospel lawyer. So he has to bring figure of speech from the Bible. Yes. No. But the point is this, right? The advocacy we have with the Father is not based on the law system. So it's not that God the judge, Jesus in the middle, and you. In the real sense, it is God the defender, or God the advocate, God the judge. Are we together? So God the judge is the God who is the advocate. Praise God. So that's why it tells you. He says, he is the propitiation for our sins. Let me now take it a step further. Right? He is the judge who is the advocate. And in his advocacy, he uses himself to pay as a ransom to deliver you from sin. Do you understand that? You know, in the real sense, in the law court, there's a judge, there's the advocate, there's you that has done evil, and there's a money you might need to pay to bail yourself out. Right? But he is the judge, he is the advocate, he is the money. All for you. Did you get that? Did you get that? So he says, and he is the propitiation of our sins, for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the world. Now look at verse 12. My little children, I write to you because your sins, they are what? Forgiven for his name's sake. Did he say your sins will be forgiven? Is it will be forgiven? It is your sins are forgiven. Say my sins are forgiven. Say my sins are forever forgiven. I walk according to this vocation. That's a very important part we don't need to lose out on. That your sins are forgiven doesn't mean you should now be doing nonsense. Are we together? Right? Your sins are forgiven so that you will live the life of a forgiven person. Yeah? Or to live the life of one who has been forgiven. Praise Jesus. But pray in the Holy Ghost while we go into the announcement.